This is DJ Kick, and you're listening to Steve Kelly Delivers, where you get a glass and a half of inspiring, influential, and interesting guests with every podcast. You can follow Steve Kelly Delivers on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Steve Kelly Delivers is listener-supported on Venmo.com.
Hello, and welcome to episode 20 of Steve Kelly Delivers. It is a podcast that brings you quality entertainment first class. If you go to my website, www.stevekellydelivers.com. From there, you can access my Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram accounts. Now, Steve Kelly Delivers is a listener-supported podcast, so if you like the content of what you're hearing and would like to lend your support, I'm going to tell you a couple of ways how you can do just that. First off, you want to subscribe to my show on iTunes, rate it, write a review, and tell your friends about me. Next, you could be my patron on Patreon. I will acknowledge my patrons in every intro. Lastly, if you'd like more of a personal touch to be acknowledged, if you friend me on Venmo and make a donation to my show via Venmo, I will give you a personal shout out on the introductory portion of my next episode. Now, let me introduce my next guest and deliver an awesome conversation to you as I welcome Shay Dognia to the show. Shay, how is it going? We missed you at the meetup last month, Film Build.
Yes, we did. I have been going like 110 on my startup. I'm also producing a movie, so I am very busy.
Yes, and you are always...
It's different busy because, like, when you work for other people, it's like, okay, you have time. But when you're working on something that you love and it's yours, you're willing to dedicate 100% of your time. So I need to find that balance there.
Well, wait, hold up. When you're working for other people, you have time?
You ultimately give time because you're getting paid. So it's just like, okay, why have to allocate 7-8 hours to this job? But like when you're doing something that's like you love and sometimes you do get paid to do it, you're just like, I'm all in 100% of the time.
Oh yeah, that I hear. But it's like, oh, my work schedule has been so crazy lately. But then when I get the downtime and free time, I'm like kind of jumping into trying to get my things going on the side, and it gets crazy. I would love to have like full time to just put in to everything. But let's see. I just wanted to tell you, your episode will be released next Wednesday. You are episode 20. And have you checked on my website at all, Steve Kelly Delivers, to see who episode 19 was?
Yes, it was Jimmy, right?
Yes.
Yes, I actually talked to Jimmy yesterday. He was super pumped that your podcast came out. He was just like, yeah, Steve interviewed me. It came out today. I'm super excited.
Yes.
So I was happy for him that he's excited that, you know, you guys had a wonderful time on the podcast last week.
Oh, I always try to have a wonderful time, and I hope that my guests do too. But yeah, that's awesome. I love that kind of feedback.
Yeah, it just says that you're a great host, you know, so...
All right, thank you.
I hope I get to tell him next week, like, oh, yeah, we had an amazing time, and it was good, and you should listen to mine now.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. But let me see. The first question that I had for you is you said that you're a film producer and a director. Now, where did you get your educational background
for all this? I went to Full Sail University. So I have a undergrad in film, and I have a master's in entertainment business.
Oh, nice. A master's in entertainment.
Yes.
So with that, you can pretty much...
To me, that's my favorite degree. Like, it's like my favorite out of all my degrees that I have. So like...
Wait, how many do you have in total?
I have 3 total, but I also went to Oriental Medical School, and I went to law school for a little bit as well.
Wow. You are really on the move. That is an impressive assortment of degrees there. But yeah.
Only 3. I technically only only have three. So.
Three, and what, you just turned 30, I believe? Are you still around that age?
I'm 29 as of today, but on Sunday I will.
Oh, that's 30. Right. It's Sunday. Okay, well, so you got 3 degrees and you're 29. So that is definitely pretty impressive.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
All right. Now we're going to start talking about your films that you've done, some of your works. Now, like, what can you say, for example, about, like, Sanford, Reversed, or any of your other projects?
So, Reversed was a reality TV show about diabetes, and it aired on the Discovery Channel. And that was, like, my first big thing that I produced, like, on my own, and did pre-pro and all that good stuff. Before that, I worked in reality TV, but it was more, like, on the editing side of it. So I worked on Redneck Vacation, and I will never do that again. Those people are very racist people.
Yeah, I would. Louisiana. I would definitely, yeah, in that part of Louisiana, yep, where the banjos play, absolutely.
Yeah, so I was just like, yeah, I don't ever want to do this again, and I'm glad that show's no longer on the air. So.
But that's so cool, though. You had a show on Discovery Channel.
Yeah.
Like, what do you need to see that? Is it, I guess, if you just have Discovery, can you go in their, like, library and the DVR or something?
Just a regular Discovery Channel.
Okay. Oh, good. So I got to look on there, and I got to type in Reversed, and I got to watch that. I got to see your episode.
yeah, my baby, I suppose.
And let me see, what was Sanford about?
On my feature film right now as a producer. It's in the works. It's pre-production. If those of you don't know what pre-production is, it's like we're getting all the logistics out and we're trying to finalize set locations, cast, how much money we're going to have, and things like that. And I'm also doing a startup as well for like my own streaming site, so similar to Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime, but it's more interactive. There isn't a online streaming platform where it's interactive and you get to FaceTime or, you know, chat. You can do everything you can do on Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram, you're basically going to be able to do on our platform, and I'm super excited about that.
And, like, how close are you to getting that in the, like, actually produced, that project?
We're actually getting that done, like, now. Like, if they're designing it right now, I'm out there talking to people about it. We're looking for investors. So, like, it's pretty, like, next year we'll be up and running. Like, that is a definite yes. Next year, we're going to be giving Hulu and Netflix and Amazon Prime a run for their money.
Oh, wow. I remember you talking about that at the Film Build meetup, and it sounded so cool, and I can't wait for this app to come out, because it just sounds...
Me too. I'm excited for, like, my military people who go overseas, or people who are away from their family, because this is so interactive that it's like having your family with you, because you can simultaneously watch movies at the same time. So it's not like, wait, hold on, you press play when I press play so we can watch this movie together. No. One person presses play.
And then you both?
You can watch it as if you're in the same room.
That is so cool. And also, you just brought this up. I wanted to thank you for your military service.
Yeah, it's actually my honor. People say thank you, but I don't think people understand what it is for us. It's just like, we want to do something for our country to give back. So that's why we serve. And I understand that some people, you know, are really overappreciative of us serving, but it's just like, you know, it's second nature to us. So a thank you, we feel like a thank you is not really needed. So you may get those veterans who are just like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. But it's just because we did it selflessly, and us getting a thank you isn't necessarily something that we actually really want to hear.
Wow. You know, I can get that. I do. And it's totally makes sense. But still, thank you nonetheless.
Right. Of course. I definitely get it, you know.
All right. Now, on your Instagram, it says that you are a chief visionary expert. What can you say about that? You got to talk about that.
Okay, so for like, I work with different people, and I help them basically understand what their vision is for themselves, like what they want to accomplish and things like that. Like, I work with Jimmy every week, and we talk about things that he wants to accomplish. So that's really what I'm doing. I'm helping people get the vision. And for my startup, I'm the visionary behind it. Like, it's my idea. It's what I perceive that people are missing in their lives and what I missed when I was deployed. I miss my family and I miss my friends, and I couldn't get that when I was deployed. So it brings that happiness that I had as a kid with my mom hanging out on the couch on the weekend watching movies. Because in life, it will punch you and it will kick you, and you will be, you know, on the ground and you don't know how to get up. But those happy moments will help you get up. And you just have to keep remembering, I have those happy moments to keep progressing through life. So we just have to go around and remember those happy moments that we so much forget about, because we have all our other issues going on. But you always have to look to the good times for those bad moments that do come about.
Yeah. Wow, that is pretty prophetic right there, and totally true, because, you know, especially when you, like, you know, if work isn't going well, or you're just on the run so much, you're in like any kind of a rut, you do feel that way, like, oh, that's all you're thinking of, that's all you're focusing on is a negative. So it really is important to focus on the positive. And of course, keep your eyes on the ball too.
Right.
To what you want to accomplish.
Yeah, and I just do quick reminders of those for people. It's just like, okay, what are those things that made you happy as a kid? And, you know, and just getting them to reminisce about those moments and seeing that joy of them lighting up. And it's just like, okay, when you have those bad days, just think about that. And that will progressively get you through the day. It won't make everything 100% better, but it will pull you through the rest of the day where you need to be. So when you go home, you can just relax and just chill. And then the next day, you get to do it all over. And some days you'll have great days and you don't need to think about the past. But you need something to keep pulling you. Like an anchor.
Yeah. Oh, that's definitely a good euphemism right there. An anchor, absolutely. Something to keep you grounded there. Keep you held together.
Yeah.
And now we're going to talk about some entrepreneurship. Now, you recently teamed up with the founder of Operation Startup. What's that about?
So Operation Startup is for people who are transitioning out of the military, and veterans and their family members. And it's about showing them how to be an entrepreneur and how to own their own business and the steps that you need to be successful in the business industry. And so I had a great talk with the co-founder last week about doing like an empowerment seminar for veterans who have gotten out and they just don't know where they're going with their life. Because every day we have somebody telling us what we need to do and how we need to go about doing it. So for us to get out and not have those fundamentals anymore, and it's just like, okay, you get to be your own person. But a lot of us join the military when we're 18, so we don't know how to be our own person. So what does that look like? And nobody around us can tell us how to do that, because they don't understand how we don't know that. And it's just like, well, why don't you know that? You know, that's very odd. What's wrong with you? Maybe you need to go get help. And nobody wants to hear those things come from people who don't understand the struggle. So what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be helping people get over those things that they may hear. And it's just like, okay, there is no blueprint of how to be a civilian or how to transition out. It's all going to be different for everybody, and you have to take it with stride and know that these people can't tell you how to be a civilian, because they do it like it's second nature, because they don't know anything different. It's not second nature to us, so we need to learn it, like how we learn how to walk and we learn how to talk. We have to relearn these things, and it's going to take some time, and it's not going to be easy at all. It's going to be probably one of the hardest things we will do in our life. And just letting them know that is going to help with PTSD, arguments, and just feeling isolated. I didn't have that. So I felt isolated. I felt depressed. I felt like nobody understood me, and I felt alone. So if I can alleviate all of that and help at least one person, then I will feel like I have, you know, done my duty in life.
Wow, that is a really cool program that you were involved with. And, you know, it does make perfect sense. You got people that, you know, are trying to help you transition back into civilian life that are civilians that if they haven't served themselves, they really don't know what, you know, how to get you acclimated again to civilian life. So, I mean, that is definitely a great program that you got going there.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I love my veterans, and I just don't want anybody to have to feel like I felt. And that's really what I really want to focus on. Nobody to feel how I felt. And because it's very lonely when you feel like the whole world doesn't understand you, and you don't know how to convey that and talk about your feelings. Because in the military, we don't talk about our feelings. Talking about your feelings will get you hurt, because we're soldiers, or we're sailors, or, you know, we're all different kind of people in the military. So our focus is on being that, whatever our job is. So, you know, family is second and third tiers down from our overall mission as in the military. Our first job is being in the military. Nothing else matters. And I hate to say that, but that's just how it is on the pecking order. And, you know that. That's how you're programmed. And a lot of marriages don't survive because, number one, it's the military. Always and forever, it will be number one in our lives. Our kids, second, third, you know, down there, you know, they're low. Our mission is first. And whatever that is, like, it can be anything. It can be going to Egypt or going to China. It just really depends on the mission.
Yeah. And with entrepreneurship, I don't know, this is kind of what I'm picking up lately with people wanting to become entrepreneurs now. Like, years ago, it seemed like the entrepreneurs were more the trailblazers. Now, it seems like a lot more people are kind of jumping into entrepreneurship just because, wages are stagnant, that they're not rising. People are just, you know, working longer hours for less pay and not feeling appreciated at their jobs. Are you kind of getting that too with the economy, the way things are going? Like, what's your take on that?
My take on that is just, like, I think that it's more glamorous now to be an entrepreneur. It's more of, oh, you'll make a lot of money really, really fast and things like that. I don't think that it was really showcased back in the day because you didn't have Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, any of those things, Pinterest. So you had Forbes or you had the news. So it wasn't, you know, given the glamorous side of, oh, you can have money on deck and you can buy boats and all these different lavish things that are talked about. But what's really not talked about is the hard work and dedication you have to put in as an entrepreneur. It's not going to happen. Like, it takes so much effort, and it's very lonely, and a lot of people don't understand that. Like, they might do it for a month or two, and they quit because it's like, it's so hard. I'd rather just have a regular 9-to-5. It's like a mindset that you have.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely is. And, you know, like, I'm finding out, I'm trying to get my own thing going. I mean, the podcast certainly keeps me busy, running these every week. And on top, you know, like, working full time, I'm trying to squeeze that in. And like last night, there was this like local film group. Well, down in St. Pete, I'm up in Pasco County, so it's a little bit of a drive for me. But I went down there. They were like working on this film project. It was like a short film, like a music video type thing. It was like 80s themed and like, you know, vampire related. So I'm like, oh, this sounds pretty cool. I'll, you know, lend myself as an extra for this. So that's like the first time that I've actually done anything since like 2007 was the, you know, when I was last did actually extra work. So this is getting back in there. It was really fun. It was cool. I definitely enjoyed it. And I definitely want to look for more things like that to do.
Yeah. Like, you just really just have to make time for things that you love. And it's very hard to say that in today's age, because you're like, well, I have to give up this, and I'm not going to be able to pay this bill, I'm not going to be able to do that. And it's just like, okay, you're always going to have bills, but you're not always going to have the ability to do what you love. So you have to pick. And I hate to say that, but it's just like, you really do have to pick. And for me, and where the difference is just like, okay, I did a very hard job in the beginning of my life, and I don't want to sacrifice the rest of my life doing something I hate. Like, it's just backwards for me. Like, I don't have enough, like, attention span to do it, and I also don't have enough patience to do it. It's just like, I get very antsy if I'm doing something and I don't really love it, because once again, I did 6 years in the military, so it's just like, okay, I didn't really love doing what I was doing away from my family and friends, so just thinking about, oh, well, it pays you a lot of money. Well, I could have made a lot of money in the military. Money doesn't necessarily make or break anything. And for people who are just like, oh, well, I want a lot of money because it's going to make me happy, and I'm just like, you obviously haven't met a lot of rich people, because they'll tell you money doesn't make them happy. Jim Carrey says that all the time. He's like, I wish everybody could be a millionaire so they can know that it doesn't make you happy.
Yeah, very true. I mean, it makes you financially secure, but it doesn't make you happy. And happiness is what I'm finding out why I really need to get back into acting. And, you know, I want to get back and in, more involved with that, because it's about the happiness. And, like, people, well, like, they like the financial security. And, of course, it's the fear of losing that. Like, there's so much fear-mongering that, oh, well, don't give up the security and safety. Oh, you're going to do what? And, you know... So there's definitely that factor, too, the fear factor.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I think a lot of times it's pushing past that fear where success is actually, you know, made. A lot of actors, a big-name actors, they're just like, yeah, I didn't have anything. I was sleeping on the couch before I made it. I stayed with friends before I made it. It's all kinds of stories. But they knew that acting was their dream, and they would be willing to give up everything in order to make it. And you have to be willing to go that far. Like, there's a book, Think and Grow Rich. Like, you have to be willing to go the distance in order to make it. It's, you know, burn all your ships so you have no ability to retreat. And that's when you make it. And that's when things start to change and doors open for you. But if you're not willing to burn your ships, then you're going to keep playing this game. You're going to keep playing double dutch. I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out.
Yeah. And stepping out of your comfort zone, too, is something that you've got to do. And that you could actually, I wouldn't say double dutch, but you could do that in steps and degrees. Step out of your comfort zone a little bit here and there. Get familiar with feeling uncomfortable and trying new things. And then that can kind of accelerate to get you in the right direction towards, you know, making more different financial decisions as far as the direction of your life goes.
Yeah, for sure.
And
yeah.
Like, so what kind of other projects are you involved with working on, trying to create your empire?
Oh my gosh. I'm going to be working on getting some content for my streaming site. So I'm going to be stepping back into the director's chair once I eventually find time, and I'm excited about that, like, to be directing again. That's, like, one of my, like, favorite things to do. So it's, like, I have to find a happy medium where I am this CEO, I'm also a director, I'm also a life coach, I'm also just me, and people are like, oh, so do you have a husband, boyfriend, significant other? I'm like, I don't have time for that right now. I only have time for me. Like,
and there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah, so, but I guess all my friends, like, they're, like, in their 30s or just about turned 30 like me, and they all have, like, a husband, and they have, like, two kids. They have the American dream of, like, you know, 2.5 kids, white picket fence type of thing. And I'm just like, no, maybe when I'm like 35 and I'm career, you know, heavy right now. And when I'm 35, I might not necessarily be career heavy. So, yeah, well, you know, that's how it's going to go change my mind? Probably not, but the way I'm going about doing things is like, I don't have time for like anything else other than like getting my dreams done. I just really don't want to be like at the end of my road and be like, I wish I would have done this, that, and the other. It's just like, the job that I did, I was so close to death in you know, in a matter of terms of like being on a Blackhawk and there, you know, there's mortars that they're shooting out and you're just so close to that. Are you going to make it? It's just like when you come home, it's just like, I don't want to leave any bridges unturned, any stones, nothing like that. I want to keep going and push myself and see what is out there for me. What can I achieve? What do I have setbacks with, you know? And a lot of people are afraid, and I would never say, okay, you know, that's sad that you're afraid. I'm afraid of a lot of things, but I never let my fear these days, I never let my fear control what I do or don't do. Like, if I fear something now, I have to go head first into it. Like, there's no ifs, ands about it. Like, it will be second nature. Like, oh, okay, I'm afraid. All right, let's go jump off the roof or whatever. Like, I've done some crazy things. Like, I skydived by myself, like, with a parachute on, and I never skydived tandemly with somebody, so people thought I was crazy for that.
Wow. I didn't even think they would let you do that. I thought, like, the first time you had to do it tandem, but they actually let you?
No, you don't have to. They encourage it, but you don't have to.
Wow, that is really gutsy, right? I mean, for me, just jumping out of a perfectly functioning plane to begin with, I don't know. I don't think I would do that.
You gotta remember, like, I walked around for a whole year in Iraq with the M16, so it's just like, fear is not necessarily, like, it's not, it has to be really, really high up there for me to fear it. Like, don't think that, you know, when we're up, you know, I think it's like 30,000 feet in the air, that I wasn't afraid when they opened that door and that cold air hit my face. But they were like, are you ready? Are you sure? They ask you before you jump. So I was like, yeah. They're like, all right, do your countdown. So I did my countdown and I just slid out and I let it go. I let the fear go.
Wow. Yeah, 30,000 feet, that's nothing. Once you get past the Earth's atmosphere and you're in space, you know, maybe that gets a little tricky. No.
It is nothing like it. Like, just free falling, it is so much fun. Like, it happens so fast when you, like, right before your parachute pulls you. Like, but it's just so much fun. You have to go do it. At least try it once. Unless you're, like, severely scared of heights, and I would not recommend that. But if you're not, but when they open that door, I promise you, like, fear just hits you right in the face. Because you've never felt cold air like that before. It's super cold.
Oh, yeah. There. That high up, absolutely. That's all.
And I didn't know that. I was just like, oh my God, it's so cold. Like, that, like, 15-minute drop before you hit the ground is just like, oh my God, I'm freezing. Even though you have on a jumpsuit on top of your clothes. But, like, it was just so cold.
So the whole way down, it's like, ah!
It was so much fun because I wasn't strapped to anybody. So it was just like me just sightseeing everything.
Yo, I mean, you definitely get a good view up there, for sure.
Yes. Like, that's why I said, if you've never done it, you have to do it. It's pretty pricey, but it's fun. It's worth every penny.
I don't know. I think I kind of, and believe it or not, even being at 6'4", I'm pretty kind of afraid of heights. So I kind of like the ground.
Crazy. I mean, like, you're like a whole foot and then some taller than me. So, like...
Oh, it is. It, definitely.
the little person is, you know, less fearful than a 6'4" person.
Yeah, you would think I would be used to heights up here, but no.
Yeah, like, I'm just expecting it to be like, yeah, I just love, you know, being up high, because I'm already up high. You're just like, no, my 6'4" status, that's good enough for me.
No, that's high enough. No 30,000 feet necessary.
So do you like roller coasters at least then?
You know, years ago I did, but Not so much anymore. Especially, I've never been in the ones that go up, take you upside down. I don't know. I kind of like being.
I understand that. Like, you live in Pasco County, so it's not too far from Busch Gardens, and you don't go get on roller coasters?
No.
What? I mean, I know you're not originally from Florida, but come on now. Come on. Like, you have to go get on a roller coaster. Like, maybe one day I will kidnap you when you're not, you know, working, because I know you do your deliveries and what. Sometimes you guys work on Saturdays, right?
Oh, all the time. Just about.
Okay. So one of these days I'll be like, all right, too much for now. We're going to go to Busch Gardens. I'm not taking no for an answer. And we're going to go get on a roller coaster.
We are. Oh, wait, 2 months from now? Oh, I'm going to be busy that day. No.
I mean, you're like 6'4". Like, you're not going to fall out, I promise you.
Or hit my head on anything? No, that one.
Oh, my gosh. I used to work at Busch Gardens. I promise you, it is not that scary. I used to get on Quasi all the time. Sheikra is, like, my favorite. Like, that's the one that goes all the way up, and then you hang for, like, 5 or 10 seconds, and then you just drop. It is so much fun. I used to get on that right before the park closes, like, because I used to work at, like, a barbecue place, like, across from it. So that was my go-home ride.
All right. Now, shifting gears, I remember you talking about this. You have a YouTube show that you're working on or doing?
In the midst of somehow creating a YouTube show, like, different places all over Pinellas County, because I'm working with the Pinellas County Film Commission. So I haven't done anything just yet to put, like, my YouTube channel together. I gotta find something that's interesting that already hasn't been done and fit it into my schedule. You know, maybe me and you can put something together. I'm trying to think of, like, I want a show where, like, it is a woman in a men's perspective, and you're older, so maybe you have, like, a older perspective of what relationships are and how they're supposed to work out and stuff. And, you know, I'm just coming into my 30s, so that's like when they say everything makes sense.
Uh-huh. Okay, now see, I'm getting where you're going here. The show is going to take place at Busch Gardens on a roller coaster. Now. On Sheikra. Oh, we're filming. Trust me, there's cameras. Just read the script.
It's going to be epic. It's going to be an epic roller coaster ride, and, you know, yeah.
Epic roller coaster ride.
You know, maybe we'll have a film crew right before it. You know, we just got to, you know, get a waiver from Busch Gardens. You know, it's like, hey, we're doing this, and we're going to showcase Busch Gardens. And free exposure. Yeah. Let us film here.
But you know what? I will say this. I'm going to put this out there. When it comes to acting, I'm saying it right here and now. I want to be one of those actors that does his own stunts. So whatever kind of stunt, like if the stunt requires me to get on a roller coaster, then guess what? That's in the script.
I don't understand that logic here. So you're you're saying your alter ego as an actor is not afraid and you're willing to do anything for the role.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, I'm looking for acting work here. I want to break into Hollywood somehow.
Oh my gosh, that is a very interesting take on being an actor. You know, I will say what I've learned from my experience as a director and talking to actors, you guys are very fragile people, and I was just like, I can never date an actor because, like, you guys go through so many emotions, and I'm just like, oh my God, I feel like a therapist right now. Like, I'm shooting them, and I'm like, oh my God, that was a great take. They're just like, oh my God, no, I wasn't feeling it. Can we do it again? And I'm just like, what are you talking about? I just said it was a perfect take. We're good. And they're like, no, I can give you more. I know I can do better. And I'm just like, relax. You did great. Are you sure I did great? Because I wasn't feeling it. I'm just like, I'm looking at the camera and I'm watching you as well. I'm telling you as a director, you did great.
That's too well.
Yeah, like, it's a lot of playing on egos and having to calm you guys down when you guys don't feel like a take went good. Because the next take and the next
Oh, you see, as an actor, I don't, like, maybe I'm just, I haven't done enough yet, or I've just done extra work. Like, I'll do the take, and then I'll let, like, last night, you know, like, the way that the director was doing it, I did what he asked me to do, and then I would say, okay, was that good? Is he gonna have us do another take? I always kind of look for the director's cue. I never say, oh, we need to do that again. I just wasn't feeling it when I walked through the bar.
I think because you haven't had, like, you know, a leading role, and when everything comes down to, you know, it makes or break the movie, as if you're their lead actor,
uh-huh.
That's where you feel like the pressure's on.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, I really have to sell this thing, otherwise the movie's going to fall flat.
Yeah, okay, that I can agree with, because, see, I've only done extra work, so that's probably why I'm not, you know, I'm always looking to the director. Okay, was that take good? Do you want me to do it again? Is that...
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And, you know, one of these days I hope I get a cast you as a lead. So, you know, I can be like, you know, come on, don't lose me right now. Like, I need you to be in sync. You got this, okay? You know, just keep doing what you're doing and don't second guess yourself.
All right, and Shay is always on the move. Now, I've seen some Instagram pictures. You've been hitting the gym pretty hard. You're making things happen there.
Yeah, I've really been in the gym. Like, I have to go to the gym at least 5 or 6 times a week. I try to, you know, without a doubt, it's definitely going to be 5. Now, 6, it may be hard because I may be tired that day, or I may have had a lot of meetings, or I just feel down. You know, I get those days as well, like everybody else. But, like, I really have to hit the gym, and I have, like, my own personal goals of, you know, what I want to look like and what I want to feel like. So I definitely have been going the extra mile, and, yeah. So I'm excited about going back to the gym, because I used to do that all the time, like, when I was in the military.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, back then, it would, like, I could see... You definitely need to, or want to, hit the gym as often as possible.
Well, like only when I was deployed, because, like, when we're in the military, we work out every day. So going to the gym is not really one of the things we want to do, because we're already forced to wake up, like, so early in the morning and then work out and then, you know, go home. So, like, we work out for 2 hours a day when we're in the military. So it's just like, okay, who wants to do that on the weekend on our only 2 days off that we have?
Oh, wow.
They're like, nobody.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, so getting back and just saying, okay, all right, I want to take charge of how I look, feel, and all the above is just something that you have to just progressively do on your own. A lot of people in the military get out and they just gain a lot of weight. Due to the fact that we eat differently when we're in the military as well, and if you are not a certain height and weight, like, you will get in so much trouble as well. So there's a standard for us to look like and be like as well. So we're not really ourselves. But once we get out, it's just like, all right, free for all, do whatever you want. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. And now I guess we're heading kind of towards the end here. But, like, how well, you were born in Tampa Bay, right?
No, I was born in North Carolina, but I grew up in Tampa.
Okay, so you grew up down here.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm sure that you've seen it. The Tampa Bay area is just growing all the time. It's like they're constantly putting new shopping malls, apartment complexes, housing developments everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, do you see the potential for growth in the arts community as well in Tampa? Do you think that we could become a lot bigger than we are?
I would say that we don't have enough incentives here in the state of Florida. So, like, there are a lot of movies that are made from, like, books and stuff, and a lot of the settings are in Florida, Orlando, Tampa, St. Pete, you know, and they don't get made here because we don't have enough incentives. So unless we get a new governor to change the laws and things like that, we're not going to get a lot of, like, film stuff here or television stuff. It's very sad to say.
It is. It really is. Because, I mean, and, yeah, like, I'm really hoping we do get a governor in there or just politicians in general that, I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't want to give the incentives to Hollywood to come here because, I mean, they bring a lot of money. They create jobs. Everybody's happy. I mean, even the local businesses benefit from it. So I don't get.
Yeah, I don't know why either. He was just like, no. Rick Scott was just like, no. Because it used to be a lot of census here when Jeb Bush was in. Like, that's when Nickelodeon was here. That's when Universal was doing big things out there in Orlando. A lot of shows were filmed here in the area. But that's like maybe like 10, 15 years ago. So.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, from 2005 to 2007 is when I last did extra work. So, yeah, that would be, you know what? Probably that makes sense. That was, like, the last time that we did have any kind of, like, boom in the entertainment industry here. So, listeners, especially the Florida listeners, this is a very important election. We want to put a governor in there that will boost Hollywood for us. But I mean, in St. Pete, when I was down there, it's like the arts atmosphere down there, like just like the whole, like it's booming. Like in St.
Yeah,
Pete,
it's very
there's like
trendy in St. Pete.
Yes,
like, it's like its own little thing. Like I don't even know how to describe it. It's not Clearwater is for sure not Tampa. Like it's own little variety of different kind of people that go to St. Pete. Like
it's the burg.
Yeah, I'm a native, so it's just like it's very interesting to see all you people that come from different places and create this crazy melting pot. Some for the good, some for the bad, you know. But like, you know, I meet a lot of people and they're just like, "You're native here? Oh my god, I've never met one of you." Like, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
No, it is true, like, because just about everybody is from somewhere else. It's like, oh, where are you from? New York, Ohio, Chicago, Boston. Like, wait, you're from Florida? You're from here?
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's why I'm just, like, really laid back, because, like, everything around here is just laid back and, you know, easygoing. It's just, like, everything in Florida, to me, is very chilled, like, Texas, I lived in Texas before. I loved it. It was amazing. It's very cheap to live there, so I love that aspect. I lived in VA. It's not very cheap to live in VA. It's really, to me, that's up north-ish, you know. Some people say south, but I really would disagree with that. And I lived in Maryland. And Texas, by far, is like my favorite place, honestly. Other than Florida, because, you know, Florida's home, so.
Yeah, wow. So Texas, were you like by the coast or like way inland somewhere?
No, we were way in. Like, it's something called Fort Hood, and it's like the biggest army base in the United States, and I was stationed there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Wow. So,
but
yeah, like
near Austin.
Oh, okay. Because, like, see, I grew up in Long Island, and so for me, I've always been by the water. Like, I don't know if I could live like just in the middle, because it's kind of like arid there and mountainy and.
Oh, you're from the Wu-Tang capital.
Wu-Tang capital, New York.
Well, they're from Long Island.
Yeah, Long Island. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I know a little bit about, you know, Long Island, a little bit, not a lot.
Yeah, like see the Wu-Tang clan. All right, so in closing right here, what, like, let's find out where people can find you on social media. That would be pretty good for people to know.
Okay, sure. So I have a couple Instagram pages. I have a motivational Instagram page, and it's called Shay Dognia, Shaydognia. And it'll pull up because I'm the only Shay Dognia in the world. So that's really cool.
And you know what? Yeah, with the spelling of your last name, it's like I know that it is like it's spell it like it sounds, Dognia. But I was thinking, okay, is it pronounced Danya or something? I was like, it's a G silent, but no, it's not. It's
pronounced. No, it's just how it is. like, that's how you say it. I get that all the time. My dad's from Ghana, so it's just like all kinds of crazy like ways of how to say it, and I'm just looking at them like, no, that's not how you say it. Just how it's written. Just come on now, people. You guys are creating these extra language. It's not really there. So yeah, they can find me on that one for motivation. I post like 2 to 3 times a day, every day, rain, sleep, or snow, whatever. I'm posting.
And Shea then post. I
have Shea Profit as well.
Oh, you know what? And that's the one that I follow you on. I learned something new here. Now I have another. I can go to your other Instagram page to follow you.
I only post motivational stuff up there. So like, Shea Profit is really like. Whatever, how I'm feeling, you know.
Okay, so that's like your main.
That's really where you get to, like, see me and my personality is on Shea Profit. It's SHAYPROFIT.
There it is. Say it. That's easy to say it like it sounds. That's how it's spelled out.
Like, just like that. Profit, like money profit.
There you go. All right. Well, hey, Shea. It was a blast. I had a lot of fun. I hope you did too.
I did. Oh my gosh. It kind of sort of felt like, you know, I haven't really ever gone on many dates for real, but it kind of sort of felt like it was like one of those first dates getting to know you kind of thing.
Yeah. You know, it was awesome. It was fun. I didn't look at it from that perspective, but yeah, I can kind of see that now.
I mean, like, honestly, because like when you go on a first date, you have to ask these things and you don't really know. And it's like, well, I don't know too much about you, so go ahead and give me, you know, your life story, but cut it down into, like, you know, an hour.
Yeah, cut it down into an hour, into little sound bites and different segments and questions. Yeah, that's it. Now, I mean, I'm like, I have the format here. I should be, like, going out on a lot more dates. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, I'm telling you, we should have a YouTube channel. Like, it would be awesome. Like, it would be like the do's and don'ts when you're on a date and like ask people questions of like, what do you think a date should be like? It will be bomb.
Oh, that could be good.
And then you have someone who's in her 30s, who just turned 30. So it would be like, yeah, it'd be a kick-ass show.
I think it would be. Well, hey, you got an actor here that's looking for work. You're the producer. We can make this happen.
Whoop, whoop.
All right, there you go. You heard it here first. And on that note, I would like to say that it has been another successful delivery.